You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've already given you an incredible show tonight. I mean, truly. Yours truly and Keith Alexander, the first hour, breaking down our opinion and commentary on what happened last Tuesday. But then in the second hour, Lauren Witzke, Greg Johnson, Kevin McDonald, all in 1 hour. But now we're going to have a lot of fun bringing you a guest making his debut appearance tonight, closing out our election review show in grand fashion with Ethan Ralph, the host of The Kill Stream, a long-running internet talk show. Now, Ethan was banned from YouTube in late 2018 after raising $27,000 for St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. His show at the time was the number one late-night talk show on YouTube at the time of the censorship. A lot of online personalities and political commentators have appeared with Ethan Ralph on The Kill Stream over the years. If you're familiar with that constellation of our universe, Ethan has got an incredible show, big following, broadcast 5 days a week, sometimes on the weekends too.
He's over the son of his own solar system.
That's right. He's over there at cozy.tv. And, you know, I got to give it to you, Ethan. You know, I came at this a more conventional way. I came in it with Buchanan. I'm 42 years old. I joke that I'm the world's youngest boomer. Keith, how old are you?
I'm 71. I'm the
Keith 71.
I'm the world's oldest teenager.
Keith 71. He's my youngest friend. But in any event, what you guys are doing over there is amazing. I mean, y'all can stream for like 12 hours a day, 5 days a week. I've never seen content production like that. Ethan, welcome to the show.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, first off, thanks for having me here. And yeah, we do, you know, it's a little bit different, the live streaming thing. You know, just recently over the last, I guess I would say maybe a year or so, have I started doing like the long, you know, maybe here or there I would do a long stream. But, you know, recently the last, you know, 6 to 12 months, I've gotten into where, you know, some days it might be, yeah, 8 to 10 hours of streaming. And, you know, we have the kill stream, we have the summer. Yeah, it's a little bit different.
A month work of work for us.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. Now, you know, I will say, you know, we have guests, we have debates. You know, sometimes I go on location. I was doing some streaming from in front of the Supreme Court after Roe v. Wade was overturned. And, you know, so I've done some stuff like that. But a lot of times on the longer streams, maybe you're going over some other drama or some political story, or we're covering, you know, news events live as they happen during the day, or we've done some court coverage. So that does make it a little bit easier, I guess, because sometimes it's, you know, you can do like watch party sections kind of where you're kind of going over material with the audience and kind of breaking it down and critiquing. So, yeah, it is a little bit different because you're kind of just on camera. You know, I'm on camera too. So just kind of on camera all the time. Almost, I won't say reality show style, but it is, you know, once you're on for that many hours, it does kind of have a different effect, I guess. You get a little more comfortable with it.
But it's a different thing. I mean, I sort of, I guess, in a way, bridge the gap between the old and what's come since my time. I mean, here as a middle-aged guy, and again, Keith being my youngest friend at 71 years old. You know, I got my start with Buchanan, and so I that was sort of how I tried to emulate my career in radio. But what's going on now with, of course, the younger generation with Nick Fuentes and the whole group over there at Cozy is entirely different, and not in a bad way. I mean, it's just different, but it's bringing in huge audiences. And so that's just very impressive of what you guys are doing, going about it a different way. But but doing it in a way that's drawing in a crowd that, you know, certainly we can't. So it's great to have this collaboration.
Kidnapping the youth of America.
Well, I tell you what, the youth of America is the reaction that you're getting over there, Ethan? You know, obviously covering a lot of the same issues that we cover, a lot of the same topics.
Sure.
From the same perspective, but bringing in a different demographic, a different age group. And obviously there is a large and growing discontent within whatever generation we're. What generation are we on now? Is it X or Z? I'm X. I'm Z or
millennials or whatever.
Well, whatever the current generation is, they're coming over to people like you.
That's right. We do. You know, we do have. You know, especially since I went over on Cozy, I would say we've. You know, we do have a younger audience, but, you know, I'm 37, so we have people my age watching too. But we do, you know, it's the internet. So one thing I like about the live stream game, I guess you could say, is the freedom. You know, I can kind of change tact on a whim. You know, we decide fully what we're going to cover. I know you guys do too, but, you know, you can just pick up stuff and drop it. Just depending on the crowd reaction, you can see it live too, because there's a live chat.
Right, always wind up being the older generation. I remember back in the when I was in my 50s and went to Council of Conservative Citizen meetings, I was one of the young Turks.
Well, it's different now. I'm telling you, no, that's not true. Ethan and Nick Fuentes and all of these people over there. They're bringing in teenagers
bringing
in 20s
in
and,
yeah.
And old 30s. I mean,
there are
him.
We have to, you know, teenagers who watch the show for sure. And, you know, especially since Nick and I kind of linked up a little bit. And, you know, when I joined Cozy.TV, that's his project. But, you know, he's, 23, 24, I think. And he had kind of built a young audience. And I already had some, but I do think when I linked up with him, we added even more, honestly. And, you know, they're on the cutting edge. They're big on TikTok. Like, I don't even use TikTok, right? You know, they're on there and they're sharing clips of Nick. They're sharing clips of me. They're you know, getting stuff to go viral. So yeah, we definitely have a lot of youth viewers. I think that, you know, it's the freedom that I talked about, but also, you know, there's no censorship either, or very little. So we do have some freedom in that area, that you don't really get.
You have to get the younger group in, don't you?
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I do. I agree. I think it's pretty big. And you know, you just can't really find it on television. And you know, the radio, there's certain rules you have on radio too. So, I mean, not that we can do everything, right? There are certain rules, you know, but, you know, it's a lot more lax, right?
Like, we were talking about that in Q a moment ago that, you know, we first went on the air. We just celebrated just a couple of weeks ago, our 18th year on the air. We went on the air in October of 2004 for the first time. And it wasn't until, you know, from a pro-white perspective, until about 10 years ago, not even that long, really about 2014, 15, 16, where you had this proliferation of content producers with this irreverency and this, it was like a marauding group of irreverent content producers who were just putting out stuff that was so wonderfully fresh and unique, and it just brought in it opened up a whole new world of doors. And Ethan, you've been, certainly with the Kill Stream, and with your live stream, Tequila Sunrise, we'll talk about all of this as the hour goes on. It's certainly a catalyst in the development of this new generation of people who are coming to our ideas as a result of this alternative or new media. Well, we're with Ethan Ralph right now. We're going to take our first break of the hour, but we will be back, and we're going to talk about the election and so much more. Now that introductions are beyond us, we'll be right back.
Hello, TPC family. It's James, and I've got to tell you that I sleep better at night knowing that there are organizations like the Conservative Citizens Foundation. The purpose of the Conservative Citizens Foundation is to promote the principles of limited government, individual liberty, equality before the law, property rights, law and order, judicial restraint, and states' rights, while at the same time exploring the dangers posed by liberalism to our national interests and cultural institutions. The Conservative Citizens Citizens Foundation also seeks to educate the public on the dangers of extremist ideologies like critical race theory and cultural Marxism. I've worked with the good people at the Conservative Citizens Foundation for many years, and their work comes with my complete endorsement. For more information and to keep up with all the latest conservative news headlines, please check out their website, AmericaFirst.com. That's MERICA1ST.com. AmericaFirst.com.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast, and that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Happy tonight to bring to you Ethan Ralph of, well, you can find him at Twitter, at the Ralph Retort, at the Ralph Retort, and from there you
can
Ralph
or down.
You can link over to Killstream and his Telegram and all the other ways to contact Ethan, and he is truly, as we mentioned in the last segment, been producing phenomenal content. I mean, the Killstream's pitting
he's killing it.
Putting two people together to debate the issues, and Ethan serves as your moderator. And that, I mean, it's totally different than what we do here, and that's a good thing. I mean, we need all types of variety. Ethan, I want to toss over to you the midterm elections, and give you the opportunity to go in any way you want, any take you'd like, any angle you'd like.
Good as thing, we've done, bad thing, indifferent, what is it?
With all of the other guests, we've done that, and we've had some good guests. But before we do that, I just should mention that I had known of Ethan Ralph and his work for years before having this opportunity to have him on tonight. And you too, Ethan, had learned of the political cesspool. We were just talking about that a moment ago.
Well, yeah, you know, we mentioned that when we were talking before we came on air, and I actually knew of the political cesspool long before I got into any of this stuff. You know, I'm thinking maybe like 2008 or something like that. I don't know. It was a while back. There was some kind of, you know, it was some SPLC backed story or whatever. I don't know. I saw it on CNN, right? I knew
one
you guys.
Of their favorites.
Yeah, and particularly Pat Buchanan. I always liked Pat Buchanan a lot, too, because when I was growing up, I was actually a lefty, you know, young leftist.
Wow, I did not know that.
Yeah, when I was a kid in early college years, and one of the things that kind of began to open me up, I guess, to breaking free from that, if you want to be dramatic, was Pat Buchanan. And I'll never forget this. It was during the fall of 2002, and he had a show on MSNBC with Bill Press, actually. And yeah. I used to watch it every single day. And the Bush administration was dead set on taking us into Iraq. And I remember Pat Buchanan, I think it was maybe August. I don't know. It was even before Andy Card had came out with the quote, I think, right around that time. And he said, we're going to war in Iraq. He said, there's nothing they can do to stop it. They've already decided. We're going in. I'm against it, but we're going in. And I didn't like, you know, I was just trained to think Pat Buchanan was kind of, you know, out there, whatever, you know, this guy's the old right-wing guy, right? You know, okay, you're not supposed to like him, right? And so, but, I, you know, I kind of perked my ears up. I was like, wow, that's kind of, I didn't expect that. And then, you know, I was young, right? I didn't know all his history and everything back then. But, yeah, I'll never forget that. And, of course, he ended up being completely right. And I've, you know, read a lot of Pat Buchanan stuff since then. And
Sam Francis were two of our big North Stars.
I'll tell you this, Ethan. I mean, that's an incredible Genesis story there. Anybody who's a longtime listener to this program knows my history with Buchanan. I mean, up close and in person. And on the radio, I mean, he appeared every time I asked him to come on. And he just celebrated his 84th birthday last week. And when
he would never back down when they tried to
get
him.
I tell you, you know, they asked him on National Public Radio, what about your appearances on The Political Cesspool?
Right.
He said, let me tell you something. And they said, the ADL has condemned you for your appearance on The Political Cesspool. He defended us. He defended us all the way to the hilt. And I tell you what, I got my start with the guy, and without him, I wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be talking tonight. So it's just so interesting that had a role. He played a role in your evolution as well. And so now, I mean, here you are with the Kill Stream. I mean, look, 50,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, it's an amazing accomplishment. And so that's Ethan Ralph, and that's who we're talking to right now. With that being said, Ethan, let's talk about the election now. Let's give you the opportunity that we gave to Lauren Witzke and Grant Johnson and Kevin McDonald. Where do we start? I mean, what was your biggest takeaway from what happened on Tuesday?
I mean, well, one, you have to talk about Fetterman winning. I mean, this is just insane, right?
We haven't talked about that a lot, but let's go.
And I just looked at the results. You know, we cover a bunch of stuff on the show. We did an all-day election show, and Roger Stone and Loomer and a bunch of other people. Laura Loomer, excuse me. I was being too casual.
We know.
And so, but, you know, we jump around. Sometimes we cover a little internet drama here and there. A lot of times it's political streamers, but not necessarily, you know, top of the line stuff. You know, it's kind of garbage streaming a little bit, right? We're kind of having fun, making fun of people and stuff, right?
Zingers.
We're having fun.
Yeah,
now.
So that's part of the show too, right? So I said, well, I'm going to brush up on, you know, the results and make sure I'm kind of on track here before I go on the show. And I was looking, and I guess it's went up since election night. I didn't think it was. Fetterman won by 5 points, a full 5 points over Dr. Oz, who I don't like. I mean, Dr. Oz is terrible.
Yeah, that's pretty weak. That's right.
Yeah, but I mean, still, that's not. Dr. Oz is, I mean, you would think maybe a couple
rational.
Of the other candidates. Yeah, he's terrible. I'm not going to lie. You know, I saw somebody breaking down his performance in the debate, and they go, how do you. Basically, he was too eager to show him up, and if he would have just fell back a step or a half step, it would have came across even more, right?
It's like child abuse.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, you're abusing this guy. Like, just hang back. He's blowing it on his own, right? You don't have to.
But he did. I mean, that's the thing, Ethan. I mean, well, we talked about we mentioned this in brief passing, and we didn't mention it with any of the three aforementioned guests in the second hour. But with regards to what happened in Pennsylvania, I mean, for God's sake, yes, Oz was not the best candidate.
Like Napoleon said, when you see your enemy making a mistake, don't interrupt him.
This guy, though, Fetterman, I mean, he had a stroke, right. And that's awful, but he is brain damaged, and he's absolutely brain damaged. He
that's
cannot,
a requirement to be a Democratic candidate for
I mean, Biden is obviously drifting into senility. There's no doubt about that. That's just due to old age, but this guy is relatively young, and he is brain damaged, and they elected him. And I told Keith in the first hour, though, if the shoe was on the other foot, Ethan, if we had a retarded Republican candidate or a retarded white nationalist candidate or whatever you want to call them, and they were, you know, if they could block the Democrat, I would vote for them. I don't have any qualms with that. But the fact of the matter is that this guy won, and he's unlikely to even survive his term, but he won, and he can't even speak, and he's going to be a United States senator. I mean, that really speaks to, I think, the ridiculousness of the entire system, this entire nation. I mean, where are we now with this, where this is in play?
The whole
now?
Thing, I mean, you know, and I was thinking about going from there to here. The fact, you know, Fetterman winning is bad enough, but they can't even count the votes. I mean, it's Saturday night, and we don't have winners in many states, many districts. Like, this is unacceptable. You know, I cover sometimes I'm a little kind of amateur Anglophile here and there, and I'll follow British politics. And we did an election in 2019. They had their general election, and so we covered that. And that was the one where Boris Johnson kind of swept the deal. Of course, he's gone now, but and so we covered it, and they kept counting until all the votes were counted. I know that this is a shocking concept, but they kept going, and if it took however long it took, they just kept doing what they needed to do.
Well, the thing is, over here they don't know how to count. But
and then you see, they try to blame it on state laws, and you know the candidates blame it on the election officials, and there's all this finger pointing back and forth, and things aren't getting better. They're absolutely getting worse.
Election fraud is the 800-pound gorilla in your living room on the couch.
That's what Lauren Witzke was talking about last hour. I mean, you know, the whole thing, Ethan. This was Tucker Carlson. I've mentioned this once before, but there was one thing I didn't mention, and that was the fact that Tucker Carlson had mentioned that the day after the election. Oh my God! Adam Laxalt winning by 20,000 votes. We found 50,000 Dropbox ballots.
Well, that just happened.
The minister found 10,000 ballots in the trunk of his car.
Here they are. And so now, I mean, now, you know,
that literally just happened.
Story rises. It did. It did happen. But then Tucker Carlson mentioned that on the air. That they had found 50,000 votes the day after the election with the Republican winning by 20,000, and the rest is history. But he also mentioned that during the war between the states, we all know the good guys lost that war, but even then, with the war raging, they were able to count with handwritten ballots by candlelight quicker than they can do in Arizona and Nevada now. I mean, that's unacceptable.
And it's just, look, how can anybody trust this system? You know, like what you just described just happened in Clark County, and Roger Stone was on our show on Election Day, and he said, look, if fraud happens, it's going to be either Philadelphia or Clark County. Nevada is literally what he said.
Well, you know why it's going to be, by the way, right, Ethan? It started with the Voting Rights Act of 65. They knew that blacks did not vote with the same regularity as whites, so they had to handicap it some way. And the way they did it was,
A month worth of early voting, mail-in ballots, absentee ballots. That's why we keep a boomer on staff here. Thank you, Keith.
Yeah, really, that's what happened, and it's still going on. You know, it will not die.
Take a break, Ethan Ralph, the one and only Ethan Ralph. We'll be right back.
Your daily Liberty News Wire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Mauricio reporting. A man is in custody after a scare aboard a Frontier Airlines flight from Cincinnati to Tampa that was diverted to Atlanta, where police arrested a passenger allegedly discovered with a box cutter. Ben Mutz was on that flight and said when they landed in Atlanta, he talked to a fellow passenger who said he saw the weapon.
I talked to the gentleman who was actually sitting next to him, and he said he flashed a box knife at me and said, I want to stab people. And being confined to the window, he was like, I didn't know what to do, and I didn't want to, like, run, like, past him.
A military veteran and a former law enforcement official were on that flight and subdued the passenger. No injuries to others or the crew were reported. There's no word from law enforcement on how this man was able to get this box cutter on board the flight. A North Carolina teen accused of a mass shooting has been transferred from a hospital to detention.
A teenager accused of conducting a mass shooting in Raleigh, North Carolina, is out of the hospital. Raleigh police saying that the 15-year-old was transported to a juvenile facility on Thursday. He was getting treatment after he was seriously injured following a shootout with officers last month. From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Negotiators at the COP27 UN Climate Conference in Egypt are working hard to draft deals on a wide range of issues to curb greenhouse gas emissions and help poorer countries deal with global warming. U.S. climate envoy John Kerry said on Saturday, we're at the halfway point, and there is clearly a lot of work that still needs to be done.
The climate crisis is not a bilateral issue, and no country should, you know, so do anything except come to the table to help us solve a global crisis.
This is USA Radio News.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back to wrap up the show, the last two segments anyway, with Ethan Ralph. And so, Ethan, throughout the night tonight, we have had a diversity, in the best sense of the word, of takes on what happened last Tuesday night. I think Lauren Witzke, when she was on, she was shining a light on the potential of election fraud. Greg Johnson of Countercurrents was on talking about, hey, it actually serves...
Less is more.
It serves our interest that the Republicans didn't have a red wave because in
keeps us on our game.
Well, it keeps whites from becoming complacent and going back to sleep and things like that. And then Kevin McDonald was a little more melancholy about the situation that manifested on Tuesday night. So where do you fall in that spectrum, Ethan?
I mean, in terms of lasting ramification, I mean, just from purely political horse race standpoint, beyond, national divorce. I know that was something that was talked about earlier a little bit. I don't know
right.
if there's, yeah. And I've seen Scott Greer have arguments. That's another friend of mine. He's been on the show a couple times with people on Twitter. I kind of fall with him a little bit. Like, I just don't know if there's really, is there really going to be impetus for that? But, people can't even stop watching, football. I mean, I still watch football myself, so I can't really, right?
Hey, Keith,
I
where were you? This is the first Ole Miss home game Keith has missed all year, I can tell you.
He missed right? Alabama. So it's like,
I have a good excuse.
But, maybe that's where it eventually leads, but I think the mindset of the people in control is kind of hold this thing together with bubble gum and whatever they have to for the next 20 or 30 years. And then
look, if Christianity isn't the opiate of the masses, college football must be.
That's right. Well, I am a SEC guy. I won't talk about the game today. If you're an Ole Miss fan, but,
Keith, where'd you go to college? Keith, where'd you go to college?
I went to Rhodes College when it was Southwestern, the school by the zoo where the girls are girls and the boys are too, which later became Rhodes College, but I went to law school at Ole Miss.
Oh. Awesome.
Who'd you want to win today? Hey, wait, hang on, Ethan. Keith, what hat are you wearing right now?
An Ole Miss hat.
I swear to you, Ethan, as I look at him here in the studio with a Confederate flag as our backdrop, he's got an Ole Miss hat on. Well, what do we like about Ole Miss, Keith?
The Confederate flag and Dixie.
But what do we not like about Ole Miss?
Everything else.
All right. Well, anyway, I... Well, I won't even go there. Hey, but it was rich history that the University Grays war between the states. Ole Miss had a 100% casualty rate. They gave it. They gave their all.
But just from a. Yeah, I'm an Alabama fan, actually, because that's what I...
Oh, yes, you rooted for the winner today.
Ram-a-jammer, yellow hammer.
That's right, but I didn't actually get to see the game. I did, but I was, I was streaming during the game because I told people I was going to do a stream, so I was just following the score off to the side of the screen. I almost turned the game on. I've done that before because they can't see, right? I can actually have the game on the screen, but I didn't do that. Yeah, I was afraid. Well, they were losing at first, and then I didn't know if I even wanted to see that because it was going to make me angry during the stream. You know, it was kind of distracting. And then I started seeing them coming back, and I thought, okay, all right, I'll keep monitoring the situation, as Trump says. And they ended up, they did come back and win, but I didn't actually get to see it. I just saw the.
Well, see, Ole Miss lost their old coach, Hugh Freeze, because he made the.
That was one of my old
mistake.
Teachers at Briarcrest Christian School in Memphis.
Right. Well, he made the cardinal sin of defeating Alabama 2 years in a row. if you're an SEC coach and you defeat Alabama 2 years in a row, you'll find drones flying around your house.
We've totally gone off the rail. I don't even know how to redeem the program tonight now.
But look, okay, my original answer, yeah, I shouldn't have. I'm a college football guy myself, although, like I said, I haven't gotten to watch as many games as I'd like this year. But just, you know, from a macro, leaving aside the national divorce and stuff and all that, but just the horse race side of it, to me, the Republican Party is just completely decrepit and not really worthy of much support as it's currently constructed. You have, they're trying to go back to Mitch McConnell in the Senate. That's an absolute joke.
And Kevin McCarthy, we were talking about.
I mean,
about
come
that.
On. Yeah, come on. Frank
well,
Luntz's
they screw
roommate.
Up a wet
yeah,
dream,
I'm not.
As
yeah,
say.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Kevin McCarthy doesn't inspire any confidence in anybody in history, right? I mean, you just look at the guy.
He doesn't even like himself. Type.
Yeah, it's, I don't. That doesn't get anybody fired up. And you know, I think they need to move on. I don't know that they will be able to. Probably not. But that,
wait,
I think.
Wait, we need to ask directions from John Fetterman.
Move on or move back? Because I know you retweeted something, and this has been a topic of discussion tonight with the other guest. You retweeted, and by the way, folks, go and follow Ethan Ralph. You can do that by going to our Twitter handle, at James Edwards TPC, the royal we, the royal R, at James Edwards TPC, and you can link over to Ethan's handle. And you retweeted, what would be the dream of the GOP establishment, to capture the essence of Trump and place it into a man that can be controlled. And this strikes at the heart of
had some sense.
The strikes at the heart of the Trump DeSantis, you know, potential.
Well, that was the age of over 10.
Even right. The quartet of guests we've had on tonight are of a difference of opinion on how this plays out.
Well, and again, you know, that was the second part of it from the macro, you know, analysis would be Trump. Obviously, you don't have to have a rocket science degree or political science degree, even, which I do. Unfortunately, I shouldn't have taken out all his loans. But yeah, I mean, it's Trump versus DeSantis. I don't have necessarily all that much faith in Trump, honestly. You know, he kind of blew it in some ways. That
look at
I'm
all those bad
happy.
Appointments he
yeah,
made.
Yeah, right. But. The Republican base would not be as implicitly
as animated
pro-white.
I agree.
As it is, 100% inadvertently or purposefully, Trump made that happen. And the reason we have Marjorie Taylor Greene and Paul Gosar and people like that doing what they're doing.
Well, what Trump proved is that being dumb is no impediment to success.
Well, you say that, but I mean, look, I mean,
that's true though.
The Republican Party base is where it is because of Trump. No matter how you slice
it. Is he got it stirred
a conventional up. Republicanism, and I right. think DeSantis would take us back to that. I like a lot about him, but I think he takes us back more than he accelerates what needs to happen.
I think a loss with Trump is more beneficial to the goals of, you know, you people like me, you know, alternative type sources and thought leaders or whatever you want to call it. You know, a Trump loss is better than a DeSantis win, in my opinion.
I agree. Oh, yeah, I agree with that.
He advanced the ball more between 2020 and 20 and today than he did between 2016 and 2020.
Because here's the thing, Ethan, now agree or disagree with me, and don't be, certainly disagree with me if that's where your heart is. I say, well, let me find out exactly where I put it. Oh, my God, I'll have to scroll back for days now. maybe I should paraphrase. I had a pretty good take on this. With regards to Trump and DeSantis.
I know exactly how that goes, where you have to scroll and like, oh, I tweeted way more
than
I thought I did.
I found it. Well, because I couldn't.
You're behind bars, it looks like.
There's nothing that I could say here that would be better than what I wrote in my tweet. I wrote this. DeSantis running and winning would be the best thing for the Republican Party. Trump running again would raise the political stress level and create additional instability. I prefer the latter.
I agree with that 100%, and that's pretty much what I said on my show yesterday, the day before. Trump is still the real threat to the system, and there's a reason they get so...
Bad boy.
Yeah, there's a reason they get so agitated by Trump. There's a reason they literally, you know, are paralyzed by fear, some of these people, of him coming back. And it's not that he's always going to do everything we want him to do, or, you know, maybe he's going to listen to the wrong people here and there, and he has, and we, you know, I criticized him myself. But he's still that guy who is willing to break the mold, you know, out of the establishment mold, I guess, right?
Well, back in my day, back in my day, you used to get licks when you were a boy for misbehaving in class. Trump would have been the kid that got the most licks in the class.
Well, I agree with Ethan 100%. I mean, listen, Trump is a mixed bag. I mean,
sure.
Ethan, I would love to come on one of your podcasts and tell you my association with the Trump campaign in 2016, how all of that happened with Donald Trump Jr. and my credentialing and all of that that happened.
You know what's funny is they credentialed me for a couple press junkets, and then later on in the campaign, there was a change in leadership, and they didn't credential me for something in the fall.
There was no change in leadership. They just pulled the rug out from under
right? James. Well, something happened. Like, yeah, something happened because they credentialed me, and I was kind of surprised, honestly. And then later in the fall, I'd been credentialed for two events, and then later in the fall, all of a sudden, they didn't want to. So I just was like,
we
okay,
got to talk
well.
About that. We got to share stories because it was the strangest thing. You got to turn in to get your credential. You got to turn in your information to the Secret Service.
You didn't
Service.
Pull any punches. You did
get,
you?
No, sorry. you get vetted by the Secret Service before
you
get to go in that close. And so, we will continue.
Put a pin in it. I would definitely like to talk about it with you.
We're going to continue with this in the next segment with Ethan Ralph. We'll share a story, a couple of war stories, and this will be a lot of fun to end up this first show in the post-election era of the 2022 midterms. We'll be right back.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs. While you're waiting, drop by our Confederate Corner for a free cup of coffee and good conversation. Remember, there are no strangers here, just friends who haven't met yet. Dixie Republic, we're not just a roadside attraction, we're a destination for our people. For more information, visit DixieRepublic.com.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
All right, let's just share some stories now with Ethan Ralph, and he'll share some stories with our listening audience. This isn't anything the ADL and the SBLC doesn't know already, of course. But the fact of the matter is, Ethan, Donald Trump was coming to Memphis to give one of his...
Rallies.
Rallies, yes, that's right. In February of 2016, it was right before Super Tuesday in March of that year. And so we applied for press credentials. And we got them, and we got them, and we were allowed. Not only did we get them, I then, and then we had to turn everything over to the Secret Service. And I asked, I said, you know, actually, Donald Trump is appearing of all days in Memphis on a Saturday night, right in our broadcast time. And so we were going to get the press credentials to go into the press pen with Katie Tour and all of the others.
Kind of like a pig pen.
And I asked, I said, you know, actually, we broadcast live. Can I broadcast my show live for the press? They said, yeah, no problem. And so we did it. And then the very next day, and that got a lot of publicity. Oh, my God. The very next day.
SPLC went out, spun out of control.
Well, it wasn't just the SPLC. It was the entire national media. From that point forward, in March, all the way through Election Day, just Google James Edwards Donald Trump. You'll see. But the very next day after that, I got an email from the Trump campaign soliciting a Donald Trump Jr. interview on the show. We didn't ask him to come on. They asked to come on. And so we had Donald Trump Jr. on. It was a great interview. He agreed with everything that we said.
Tell him what Donald Trump Jr. said, though.
Well, I mean, I said, listen, I want your dad to be Charlemagne. I want him to be our Charlemagne. He said, yeah, man, yeah, we got to get to that. Well, anybody who's listened to it has heard that. But then, you know, when the media called him, he's like, I had no idea who that guy is. Well, I said, well, you didn't know who I was, but you asked to come on the show. You emailed me at jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org to come on the show. But okay, plausible deniability, whatever.
He said that he won't ever live that
down. Well, he said, now he did say after Donald Trump's election that interview will follow him for the rest of his life. But we still got to go to the Republican National Convention, and we still got to go to the inauguration. I had a plus one for the inauguration. I took Jared Taylor. And so all the way through, I mean, it was an amazing thing. There was Jared and I. In the media is the only two people who wanted Trump to be elected. In the whole contingent there of the media at the inauguration, I was about as far from Donald Trump as I am from Keith right now. I mean, you could have lobbed a baseball to him. And everybody else is grousing and clenching their teeth. And Jared and I are there. You know, yeah, let's go. Anyway, it was a fun year, Ethan. It was a fun year. You shared it as well.
So I used to be a blogger, and I still have my blog, theralfretort.com, but I just don't blog that much anymore. I'm just too caught up.
That's not what the game is anymore with Twitter and live streaming.
Right, yeah, and I just, quite frankly, I'm more suited to streaming, I guess, and it's more lucrative, too, I'll just be honest. And so I just kind of shifted from the Killstream being a promotional for my blog to basically it being the main deal. But that's how I came up, through blogging, Gamergate. You mentioned 2014, 2015. To me, Gamergate is kind of what, I guess, loosened things up, kind of created that sector you talked about online with the content creators and bucking the establishment, and Breitbart played a role in all that, et cetera. But during that time period, so I was blogging about the election, and we had several big stories. But this was in February, and he was doing a rally in Radford, Virginia. And I said, well, okay, I'll just apply and see. And they did. They gave me credentials. And
exactly how it starts.
Yeah, and I went there, and I just, you know, kind of live tweeted from – I didn't really have any – I didn't think I was going to get the credentials. I didn't have that big a plan, really. I just went there, ended up writing a blog post, tweeted out some stuff, you know, some pictures. But while I was there, there was a disturbance. And some reporter – I don't know if you remember this, but there was a reporter trying to lean over the guardrail to take a picture of some protesters or something getting let out, and a Secret Service agent – grabbed him. He was leaning over the press pin, like barrier, like you'd see a wrestling event or something. And he grabbed him by the throat and like threw him down to the ground because he told the Secret Service agent to F off, you know, right to his face, which was not a good idea to do to a Secret Service agent. Just full info there for anybody. And so I was there for that. That was pretty crazy. There was a rally in Richmond I got credentialed for later. And then there was something, I think towards the end of the campaign, I tried to get credentialed again. And I didn't get credentialed. I just think they didn't send anything back. So I don't know if that was, you know, because of any controversial stuff.
Negligence or
what.
Or intentional.
Yeah, and I didn't follow.
Surely
it
was negligent.
It
surely they were too busy. I mean, that.
Yeah,
it
must have been just lost in the mail. But I didn't follow up or make a big deal about it or anything. But yeah, that whole.
Well, I'll tell you.
Was,
I mean, you know, it suffices to say, Ethan, I've been in this. 18 years. That's at least four presidential cycles, and not one of the other candidates in the primaries or general or otherwise has ever given us the time of day. Donald Trump did. I don't know if DeSantis would. I doubt it.
I think that Donald Trump was so desperate to get people in the media to cover him positively. That
well, he covered. He got covered. Forgot. You know. Well, that was one of the great things, Ethan, of it all. It was his total lack of respect for the media, the fact that they would call him a neo-Nazi, a white supremacist, a racist, a bigot, a xenophobe,
every single day,
and he never apologized. I mean, a lot of it is due, where we are now, a lot of it is due over the evolution of the Republican base, the white voting base in the Republican Party of the last about six years now, right? Seven. It goes by too fast. But It's due to Trump. And so, again, all of that aside, going forward, we've absorbed what has happened. And again, I think if you look at it objectively, a week ago, the Democrats owned the White House, the Senate, and the House. Now they own the White House and the Senate, and it looks like they just have called the Senate, even while we're live on the air tonight, for the Democrats. Oh, wow. I mean, we sort of expected that a little bit. The Republicans will narrowly take the House, and I think that empowers people like Marjorie Taylor Greene a little bit more.
Well, Trump accelerated putting making the Republicans a party of the working class.
Well, before you get to that, I should say the Republicans stand better now than they did a week ago. The Democrats don't. I mean, not really. As long as we can rely on Manchin and Sinema. So
I think they dodged a bullet, though.
Going forward, well, yeah, they do. But going forward, what needs to happen? What would you like to see happen?
Well, first off, something to get, you know, there's a lot of, I just feel like it should be way more energized even than it is. And I think a lot of that is the GOP leadership just completely out of step with the base. You know, I was at some of these Stop the Steal rallies on the ground, and I can tell you, one thing that kind of surprised me, you know, I thought I was edgy sometimes on air saying some stuff, and you know, a lot of these, they call them I won't repeat the term, but the boomer army, I guess. And, you know, they kind of, you hear some stuff out amongst the rank and file that actually it's the elected officials that are completely out of step with the rank and file voter.
Hear, hear.
In the Republican Party. And it's startling, actually, when you actually examine it. Well,
that's a matter of money talks and BS walk.
Yeah.
So you know.
Right, so I mean, I don't know. They're probably going to continue to get in, right? I don't see anybody unseating McCarthy or McConnell, unfortunately. So that's kind of a pie in the sky thing.
Trump DeSantis, though. I mean, you want Trump to announce this week?
Yeah, I'm Trump. I want him to announce on Tuesday. I want him to go all in. I'm supporting Trump over DeSantis for sure. Like I said, I think a Trump loss is more beneficial for our goals than even a DeSantis.
Let's talk about
as white advocate. See, he'll call a spade a dirty shovel, as my wife's grandfather.
Well, he needs to start mentioning what he'll do for whites. I mean, you know, interestingly, Ethan, even though Trump certainly
made a lot of mistakes.
What? No. He did. I mean, we all do. But I mean, he certainly ushered in this new Republican base.
New way of thinking.
But he never mentioned, you know, and even now you have people like Ron DeSantis who will use the term anti-white. Trump never used that as president. He's using it now a little bit more, but maybe. But, you know, so he needs to come back and be stronger on that. But, yes, I think with regards to our future as a people, I am not interested in the well-being of the Republican Party. I'm interested in the well-being of our people. And I think our people's interest is better served with Trump going in there as a chaos candidate.
As a bull in a china shop.
That's right.
Whether he wins or loses, it's going to raise awareness of our issues. I think DeSantis starts to – I like a lot about DeSantis. I've said this several times tonight. But I think he starts to taper us back down to rank-and-file Republicans versus Democrats.
The one good thing about DeSantis, though, is he knows how the government operates and how to translate public – feelings into government policies. That's why candidate Trump was so much better than president.
Well, maybe he's also, maybe he hasn't. But we got a minute remaining. It is yours. Yeah, we could have gone a full 3 hours tonight. We've had a lot of fun.
Appreciate
this is yours.
We certainly could. I mean, to me, the thing with Trump is he's kind of like the Pandora's box, too. You know what I mean? he allows a lot of people to operate. A lot more voices get heard when he's running, when his influence is out there versus a DeSantis type or a more established
John McCain
type.
Or Bob Dole.
Right. Yeah. So that's another reason why I just feel like he's good for this whole sphere, all of us, just in general, just him running. So I'd say that. And then I would just also say thanks for having me on tonight. I don't know how much time we got left, a few more seconds. And
we need to get you on for 3 hours.
Yeah, no, I would really, love to. I mean, this has been fun. I mean, this is, you know, we've done this for a long time. They're all fun. They're all meaningful. But this has been, this has just been freewheeling fun.
Shooting from the hip, and I think that's the best time.
Well, right? I'm looking at two different monitors here in the studio. One says 8:58. One says 8:56. If the 8:56 is right, Central Time, we got two more minutes, actually.
Okay, we do have a couple minutes.
So, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Ethan.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say some of your viewers, if they have some free time during the day or night, you know, I broadcast on Cozy.TV. It would be it would be a bad move for me not to promote that because
they got,
you know,
to got do it. Tell us more about it.
Right. Well, I got banned off YouTube kind of at the top of our game there when we were the number one late night show, and I've, you know, been living a nomadic lifestyle as far as the show where it's broadcast since then. But
our,
we found a home.
Jimmy Kimmel.
Right. That's right. That's kind of what we were doing. But we found a home on Cozy.TV. It's a, you know, alternative media streaming site. And so, you know, I want to promote it as much as I can. We have a lot of other good streamers over there. Nick Fuentes, you mentioned him earlier. Of course, that's his, he's the boss. Basically, it's his site. So I want to shout him out as well. And I thank you guys for having me on. Check us out during the day and hope to come back. Hope to have some of you guys on too.
Hey, we got to do it.
If you're ever passing through West Memphis again, look us up.
Yeah, that's right. We'll be here holding down the fort, my friend. And, Ethan, it has exceeded expectations, the already high expectations. Let's continue to collaborate. Let's continue to work together. Godspeed to you and all you're doing. Folks, check him out at TheRowlRetort at Twitter. And from there, you can link over to all of his good stuff. Ethan, thank you so much. For Lauren Witzke, Kevin McDonald, Greg Johnson, Keith Alexander, I'm James Edwards. Good night, Godspeed. Keep the faith, folks. Onward we go. Another midterm, but our people still exist, and we still survive, and we still endure, and we'll be here for you. We'll talk to you next week. Good night, everybody.